We are still in the second chapter, huh? That means we are very, very slow. But as I told you, would very much like the first six chapters to be done very well. Because the first six chapters are difficult on account of the manner in which the exposition is made. What remains of the second chapter for us to do is perhaps the most important part of the chapter. As you know, we have started in the second chapter emphasizing what Sri Krishna says, the distinction between the Buddhi Yoga as applied to the process of knowledge and Buddhi Yoga as applied to the process of action. What Sri Krishna has said is that it is possible to be in the state of freedom, freedom from all grief, if you follow the process of knowledge by applying Buddhi Yoga. And then Sri Krishna says that Buddhi Yoga, if applied to action, then even while doing action, you can have the experience of freedom. And thereafter we had three important sentences which we underlined. First was the famous sentence, karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. To action alone hast thou the right and not to the fruits of action. This is, you might say, the first step of karma yoga. Although many people regard it to be the last and final message of the Gita, but this is only the first step. And then there are two other statements which we emphasized. Yoga samattvam uchyate. The equality of consciousness is what is called yoga. The karma yoga means state of equality while doing action. If you can maintain a state in which there is no desire for honor or dishonor, pleasure or pain, happiness or misery, gain or loss, merely doing an action, if that state of equality itself is called karma yoga. This is the second statement we saw. The third statement that we saw was yogah karmasu kaushalam. The proficiency of action, even when there is no desire for the fruits of action, when you can attain that proficiency, that is the sign that you are a karma yogin. This statement was necessary because very often when there is no desire for the fruit of action, then the process of action becomes very loose, lethargic, indifferent, negligent. As many people do their duties for the sake of duty, but then there is not that much of application of consciousness. Therefore Sri Krishna says that even when you do not have desire for the fruits of action, your proficiency of action should be perfect. Absolutely.
Without completion, the proficiency...
That's right. Your action should be perfect. Take for example, Arjuna's function or action was to shoot the enemies and shoot perfectly well. Now, if there is any kind of deficiency in that action, it is not action. So there must be perfection of the means of action, the force applied in the action, the intention in producing the result. No negligence of consequence of action. Action by definition means will applied to the production of result. Very definition of action is result. Will applied to the production of result. So to produce the result and yet not to have the desire for the fruit of action, this is a very subtle distinction, that even when you do not desire the fruit of action, your intention must be to produce the result and do everything to produce the result, and yet you have no desire to enjoy the fruit of action. That state is called the state of Karma Yoga. So these are three statements that are very important in the second chapter.